Welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is Danielle, CMO here at The Reflective, and I am joined here by none other than our founder and CEO, Liza Sakai. Wow, okay. I feel like you should be entering the NBA right now, just like jazzing up for a game with that little intro I served you, Liza. Anyway, guys, this is going to be a short and sweet episode and a juicy one because we are setting the stage for what will come next week, which is a replay of a panel conversation we are having at a small and intimate event in New York. We are talking about modesty as more than clothing. In particular, we've already covered modesty when it comes to our speech, but there are two other categories that we could really dive into, which is thought and action. At our event, we are having a conversation with Avital Goldschmidt and Zelda, Hair by Zelda, the legend, and they are going to be really leading us in the conversation around modesty when it comes to social media. Social media is wild. There is so much we can explore there, but as far as modesty, I think there is a lot we can dive into and explore. And before we even hear what Avital and Zelda have to say, and don't worry, you guys will all have the opportunity to hear this conversation too. We will be posting it here on More Than a Hemline. I would love to hear, Liza, your thoughts on this whole topic as modesty when it comes to social media, being a public figure, influencers, the whole shebang. We'll just like dive into it and see where it takes us.
Okay, that usually works for us, so I'm into it. I think there's a lot to tackle here because there's the first angle, which is like, is it immodest to be on social media and be loud on social media, like to make yourself known to a large group of people? To, you know, it even comes into play with like beyond social media, but like journalism, which one of our speakers, Avital, is a journalist, not just, you know, and social media influencer, but like just being a modest woman, quote unquote, and expressing your opinions in public spaces. So I think that's part of what I want to hit at here. And then I know we're steering away from clothing, but there also is the angle of like how you dress on social media and what that says. And just like the expectations around that. Like I know another one of our guests, you know, was speaking about how for her, sometimes she feels dishonest posting an immodest outfit. I mean, posting only modest outfits, because there are so many times where she struggles and she decides not to dress modestly that day and then she refrains from posting. And in the same way that we see people on social media portraying only the positive aspects of their lives, you're seeing people doing that with modesty and setting almost like unrealistic expectations for other women who are struggling, and making them believe, in the same way women who see women who are always happy on social media, making them believe that they should always be happy, in the same way making them believe that they should always be dressed 100% modestly when they go to the beach, when they go running, when they're on vacation, when they're not being seen by other men, you know? And there's no way that everybody is perfectly modest, but there is this expression on especially Instagram from like quote-unquote modest influencers, and that is what's happening. So those are like the two angles I think we should dive into today.
So let's dive into it. I'm here for it.
Well, do you have any initial thoughts like in your personal life? I know you got recognized yesterday. We went to speak at a school and a girl came over to you and was like, oh my god, I follow your TikTok, and like you're not even trying, you know, to be an influencer, but you are putting a lot of your life out there on social in a way that like your intention is only to benefit people, but it could be misread by people who have different values or different opinions. So what has that felt like for you so far?
I think first and foremost, it's just strange. It's just, it's, you know, and I think we both have kind of felt this over the past 2 years since starting The Reflective. Our intention from the offset was never to be influencers. Our intention from the offset was just to create this marketplace, this experience for women to shop modest fashion on one website. And I guess just through our content strategy, we both have had a prevalent, I guess, space or spotlight. I don't know what you want to call it, but our faces have gotten recognized by people that we don't know. And that's just such a weird thing when you're not used to it. I think that first and foremost is just something I want to say. It's like, it's weird. It's like, it's not bad. It's not like there's nothing to say other than it's like, you know, social media, what social media has done is it has allowed people who you don't know, who are not a part of your daily life, to see your daily life. And so when those online relationships of whatever, however you want to define those relationships, come into real life, it's a very strange thing because it's very one-sided. So you're not getting to know every follower the same way that they're getting to know you. And I think that's what's really strange about it. And I think that really ties into modesty in a very unique way, because at the end of the day, first of all, like, modesty, what does that even mean? It's the worst word ever to describe what we're doing here. And I think at the end of the day, really what modesty is all about is it is the decision you make to reveal certain parts of yourself with different people, you know, however you want to define that, whether it's with your body and clothing, whether it's with your personality, whether it's with your thoughts, your speech, or anything. Modesty is really at the end of the day about like knowing when to reveal yourself essentially and become vulnerable with the right people. And when you think about that, when it comes to social media, it's like, because you're not seeing those people every day, because you're not getting to know your followers, because you don't have that intimacy with everybody who's following you, it kind of makes the act of posting on social media very impersonal, and it doesn't really feel like there's another person in the room. So the thought process behind like what you would normally reveal to a person is kind of taken away. Like, you're not thinking that carefully anymore because you don't feel that relationship.
I had no idea where you were going with that, but when you got to the point, I'm mind blown. I never thought about that. It's like you're alone in a room. Like what we do with this podcast, I am so much more vocal about my opinion than I am when we go, you know, speak at schools or in different presentations, sitting in a crowd of, you know, 50 to 100. And it's because I feel like it's just me and you, but then there's 1,000 people on the other end that are listening to everything that we have to say. And I'm not, it's like just that innate modesty that I've developed in different environments, depending on size and who's there and what the environment is and what the intention is behind the space, no longer exists when we're doing this.
Exactly. It's such a strange concept to really think about, because I think that is first and foremost the mechanism at play when we need to even have this kind of conversation when it comes to modesty and social media.
It's beautiful because, for example, right now we were talking and I was thinking like, wow, Danielle said modesty 56 times in just like one blurb. And like, if me and you were alone, I would have said like, oh my God, Danielle, on my bachelorette, let's have a drinking game where we play More Than a Hemline and we take a shot for every time Danielle says modesty. Like, so much fun. And then I wouldn't have said that here because I'm like, oh, people are listening. Maybe I shouldn't do that now that you brought that all up and I'm thinking about it. But in reality, I'm sure other people on the other end of their headphones like would enjoy that comment, and it brings like a lightness to the environment that I would refrain from doing in, you know, a less appropriate space. So it's like, where do we draw that line between like what we should share and what we shouldn't share, and what's modest and not modest, and what's a lack of privacy and what's too private, you know?
It's so hard. First of all, we have to start playing that drinking game because it would... It would be too fun. Second of all, yeah, I don't know. This is just such a tricky and complicated subject. And I haven't gotten so much advice on it from mentors, but I do remember when I was, you know, really struggling with my career. You know, I quit my job. I had a different job before this was my job. And I had this offer to like be a public figure in a sense, like the face of like this other brand. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. But like when I was talking it through with mentors, I was like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. And like one of the points they made was like, as a woman, especially as a single woman, which I am, you have to be so careful about what you're putting out there because people are very quick to make judgments about you. And it sucks it's not right, but that's the nature of the world that we live in, is what you put out there in a certain sense shapes how people perceive you. And I'm not here to say that's right. I think it's wrong. I wish people didn't do that, but the reality is people do that. So how do we operate knowing that that's how humans think? Oof. Yeah.
It is hard. So this morning after I had coffee with this journalist from The Forward, which is a Jewish publication, I was thinking about how she was talking about how, like, you know, sometimes in Jewish law, we have laws that evolve with us as we grow and as we evolve through time. And there's certain things that are held back. Like, you know, even though now we have cars and, like, with, you know, the Sabbath laws, it might not actually mean that we can't get in a car. We choose not to get in a car because we want to stay, like, you know, true to the authenticity of why, like, the Sabbath was given to us by God. Like, there's always this push and pull of, do we, like, move forward into the worlds of tech and, like, just, like, the modern day society, or do we stay back and stay true to the, like, original Bible Torah that was given to us? And I think those complexities are really what are at play here. Like, women are evolving. Like, women used to be in the home, and there was nothing wrong with that. Like, that's what society was at that time, 200 years ago, even 100, even 50 years ago, even 20 years ago. Like, that was, it wasn't even just an expectation. It was comfortable for women. I don't think women were being oppressed. I think it was just, that's how life was. But we've evolved as a society, and with that, women have evolved. Rights for women have changed, and as a result, women are a part of the workforce more often, and they are forced out of the home, not forced, but given the opportunity, if they choose, that's really the point of feminism, to be out of the home if they want to be. And with that comes an evolution of all the things that relate to a woman. So her place in the public and the way that she dresses. And now we're like first starting to question, you know, these aspects. And there are certain people that hold by the belief that we should stay in the past. And just because society around us is evolving doesn't mean that we should evolve with it, because, you know, if you look at the roots of the Bible, of the Torah, women were in the home, and that's what they were intended to do. And, like, there's this pulling back of the woman in society, trying to keep them, you know, within the boundaries of what's expected, quote-unquote, because they think that's what's best for, like, the Jewish religion or any faith. I think it applies to all faiths, honestly, right now. Or there's the people that are saying, you know, sometimes we hold back, but sometimes we modernize with society when it's best for the people. And there are ways to get women involved that are still modest and are still true to the laws of each of our faiths, but allow them to have full participation in their faith-based society the same way that they now have access to in their secular society. And so with social media, I think that evolution also has to come. Like, I spoke to a woman recently who ran a very small, modest blog. Super, super cool, super high fashion. I always admired her. And I was talking to her about it recently, and she said she went to a religious, like, guide or mentor of her own. And she said, you know, I think this could be immodest of me. Like, I'm posting modest clothing, but it's in a modest sentiment because I'm posting my face and I'm dressing up and I'm making myself look so beautiful. And I'm, like, you know, really putting myself out there. And he said to her, and, you know, this is someone who's very, very religiously observant, but has, I guess, what you would consider a more modern way of thinking. He said that we live in a different day and age, and what you're doing is meant to sanctify God's name and bring light into this world. So because your intentions are in the right place, it's not immodest. It's completely modest, and it's only, like, it's only a good thing. So there is, like, that opinion, which is, I think, where Danielle, you and I both hold, and it's, like, part of the impetus behind why we started The Reflective, and it's given us so much of our motivation. But there definitely still is a huge sect of people, I'd like to say a larger sect, that believe that, like, modesty is still associated with privacy and being in the home, and by stepping outside of those boundaries, especially in such a scalably public fashion such as social media, you're automatically, like, abandoning the roots of modesty.
This is so good. This is so good. I'm so excited for our conversation tomorrow night at our event, because it's only going to go deeper into this, and everyone listening, you will have the opportunity to listen to the continuation as well. One thought I had, we won't dive into it because I know we want to keep it short and sweet, but I wonder when we talk about modesty when it comes to social media, what the differentiation we could make between showing and telling, if there is one. Meaning, I think we have evolved enough to, you know, understand that social media can be used as a tool to lift others up and spread whatever inspiring or educational or entertaining message you want. And I think like showing is a little bit more digestible in some religious communities. Like, okay, you're showing a beautiful, modest outfit to hopefully inspire others and encourage others to dress modestly as well. When it comes to telling, I think conversation-wise, when you perhaps, anytime you get into controversy, obviously, I feel like, I don't know, where is the line there when it comes to modesty? You don't want to like poke the bear and stir the pot, but sometimes I feel like if you do have a platform, you can use it to hopefully change the narrative of an archaic narrative. You know what I mean?
And you know me, I'm, as much as we have a big social platform, I'm pretty antisocial on the whole, outside of like a fashion inspiration perspective, but from a social perspective, I'm not so into it. But I will say it's done something beautiful in making publicity accessible to everybody. Again, within like the bounds of religious communities, I don't think women have as much opportunity to voice their thoughts. It's just not natural, and it's not set up for them. For example, again, my number one exposure is the Jewish community because I'm Jewish, but like women can't be rabbis, and rabbis are, you know, the leaders of the communities. They're the ones that stand behind the podium. And I don't actually have anything against that. I understand where it comes from in the law, but it also, it's just a less viable option for a woman to then have an opportunity to speak in front of a congregation or a public group of people within her faith. So social media is providing that for her when she's not having access to that in other places.
Yeah, I think there's so much to explore there in of itself. And I'd be curious to hear what our two lovely ladies who are leading the conversation tomorrow night will have to say on that topic of showing versus telling and modesty. Wow, guys, this has been a fruitful conversation to say the least. I love our short and sweet combos, Liza. We really have to get into the routine of doing them consistently. It's hard with life being so wild, but I just walk away mind blown every time, and I hope everyone listening does too. So with that, we will wrap up, and I want to thank you all for listening and joining us for another episode of More Than a Hemline. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear from you. Please give us your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. We want to hear everything you're thinking. You can email me at danielle@the-reflective.com and I will get back to you. Would love to chat. Maybe we'll do a little 15-minute phone call, set something up. I want to get to know all of you listeners. So please, please, please be in touch. And if you liked this episode, as always, please leave us a review on the podcast player of your choice. The only way we can move on up in the charts is if you review us. And why would we want to move up in the charts, you say? Well, guys, we're trying to give modesty a facelift here, and we would love for lots of people to see that facelift. So please leave us a review. We would be so grateful. Anyways, we will see you here next week with a replay of our live conversation with Zelda and Avital talking about modesty and social media and the role women play as public figures.